Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church. This is for our Sunday night service, and we want to welcome you and all those out there in the parking lot and out there in Facebook land and listen to our 88.1 on the FM. And we're going to start our service off tonight, number 387, Blessed Be the Tie. We'll stand and sing. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims, our one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
Amen. Thank you. Stay warm. I broke the command, so don't tell the Lord. Lord Ken back there. He says, do not touch Mike. So Mike's not up here. I can do what I want. So. But it's good to have you this evening. Glad you're back in the Lord's house. We have a short Bible study. It won't last past 8 o'clock anyway. So we're glad and hope and pray you had a good afternoon. And you're back, so God has blessed you, hadn't he? And he blesses us every day. We just forget to thank him and count our blessings. But we can't even begin to name them till we see some of our blessings going out the door. Some of our blessings being taken away from us. Or threatened to be taken away from us. So we have a lot on our prayer list. Continue to pray for our pastor. He seems to be feeling pretty good considering COVID. Pray for my wife, Lynn. She's hurt her back somewhere or other. But she's feeling some better today than she did yesterday. And many others on our prayer list. We put some on there this morning. And you got a prayer list, I guess, before you went out the door today. But just continue to remember our pastor, that he recoups and gets us through this and over it. And our sister Jessica Roach. And there's probably others that are sick, if not with COVID, with other things. But we're just glad you're here. And that's all you're responsible for, isn't it? Yep. To be in the house of the Lord whenever you can. And that's what we're going to talk some about tonight. Being with the Lord. And David writes in his Psalms so many terms about the Word, the Word, the Word. And it's used so many times through his Psalms, and this Psalms especially. But we're going to be in Psalms 119 again. We're doing the third alphabet of the Greek alphabet, Gimel. This word means camel. Each one of the alphabets of the Greek alphabet has a meaning. They named it after certain things. And most of them were practical, common sense things. But we'll see a little bit of that later. But we're going to look in 119. And before we do that, let's have prayer and thank the Lord that you're here, and pray for our church family. How are you? No, sir. Our pastor's not here tonight. Pardon? John here tonight? John Franklin here tonight? He is.
Okay.
Tell Brother John that he can take him out to, or someone, you can take him, okay, if you want to go with him out to the motel and get a room, tell John he can take him out there tonight, okay?
I don't have no food or gas.
Well, we can. John will take care of you as far as somewhere to stay. Okay. Be safe. Sorry. Let's have prayer. I forgot where I was at. Sorry. And we'll begin. Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for being our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for controlling our lives, not as a ruler, but as a lover. You love our soul. We thank you for that. David, you're Psalmist David, who loved you dearly and wrote so much about you and his love for you and your word. And we just thank you for giving us your word. And we thank you for our church family. We pray for the needs of our church. We pray for our pastor and his family. We pray for those that have been added to the prayer list today. May you touch each situation. We don't know all about each situation, but we don't have to. We just need to pray. You tell us to pray for one another, lift each other up. And that's what we're doing tonight. As we go into this Bible study, we just ask you to bless your word and make it clear to us what you want to say to us. Touch our hearts and lead us this week coming, and give us safety and mercies and grace. And just be with our church family and our immediate families. And we just thank you again for our prayers to you, that you do obey and you answer. And we just thank you for being an almighty God. And we ask each blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalms 119, we talked about it last time. Wednesday night, a week ago, 2 weeks ago now, going on two, but we read from the Psalms at the business meeting, second Greek alphabet, Beth, and tonight we're looking at Gimel, which I said earlier means camel, but first, we look at the alphabet Alpha. It means ox. And each one of these, I said, means something. A lot of times it has meaning with farm and common sense and everyday life. But Beth is the second one we looked at in stanzas 8, 9 through 14 or 16. And it means house. And you're probably wondering why I'm saying the meaning to these. And it must have been important because David wanted to include each one of these in his Psalms. As he went with 22 of them, he wrote 8 verses about each one. And it impressed upon him the Lord and the need to know the Lord and to follow the Lord and to know his ways and his precepts and his commands. So, and the last one of the alphabet is the 22nd alphabet, and it means cross. And I don't think it's accidental that that's probably where they were foreshadowing, to me, Jesus Christ, because he completed his deed on the cross, dying for your sins and my sins. So, Tau, T-A-U, means cross, and it's fitting, as David wrote here. He must have known something about the Lord because he predicted the Lord's death in one sense by naming the cross as the 22nd alphabet. But Christ ended the sin debt on this cross for you and me. And some of the other meanings that's been used through here with the alphabet is door, window, hand, water, fish, eye, mouth, head, tooth, face, sword. So it's a common sense writing that David did, but he was consistent in all through this. All 176 verses of the Psalms, and you might want to read it tonight when you go home before you go to bed, okay? Of course, you might go to bed pretty late if you read all of it. But Psalms 119 is written in a literature form called acrostic. It's 8 verses, and in some cases, verse 1 and verse 5 are repeated. Not the same words, but repeat in meanings. So David had a pattern to write this in, and I don't know how you write when you write or you take notes or whatever, if you're studying your Bible or doing Bible study or reading your devotion, but I would find it hard to stick with this one thing for making sure it's 8 verses in each one, making sure it said what I wanted it to say, and doing that for 22 of these letters. But anyway, 22 times 8 is 176. And I shared with you before, Matthew Henry, a great theologian of the Bible in the 1800s, he said his dad required them to read the Psalms 119 every day. And I read some commentary back around this, and he got so deep and far in it, I just gave up on his commentary. It's too deep and too long for me. But he learned this Psalms because his dad wanted him to, but then it stuck in his mind how important it was. And I shared with you, one guy wrote about these Psalms, 119, and he wrote 3-volume book about this. And so this Psalms has a meaning to, it's the longest book in the Bible as far as verses. And it's written in imploring God to continue to speak to David's heart. And we know that David had a heart for the Lord. Even though he wasn't perfect, we know he didn't live a perfect life. And neither have we, and neither do we have to. Because we have a perfect Savior, don't we? If we have to keep everything like the Jews did in the ancient times, the Orthodox Jew, they had so many precepts or written rules and laws, they didn't even remember some of them themselves. I've read as much as 520 rules they had written down beyond the commandments beyond God's commandments. Now, could you remember 520 rules? If we had 520 rules on the highway, we'd probably break a lot of laws before we got home tonight, or if we even got home. But this is a unique Psalms. I've always been impressed with it, and just thought it'd be good for Bible study. So that's what we're doing tonight. And we're looking at verses 17 through 24. And I'll read those, and you can read along with me. I'm on page 990. So you look in your Bible and see if you're with me, okay? Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for longing that it hath unto thy judgment at all times. And that's referred to in Psalms 42 and 1 also. Thou hast rebuked the proud. They are cursed which do err from thy commandments. That's in Psalms 119, verse 10. Remove me from reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. So, David is asking God for his blessings, but also for guidance. Sometimes, if you're like me, you seek guidance because you don't know which way to go, or how to turn, or how to answer, or whatever, in life's situations and problems. And as Brother Ralph Crawford said, if you don't have issues in your life or problems in your life, just hang on, they will happen. And they do to everybody. Nobody's exempt, but we don't have to worry about being exempt from sin because God took care of that with Jesus Christ. In this writing, God, the Word gives us boldness about the truth. In 17 through 20, life is desirable in order to serve God. Tell it to others. Think on it. Meditate upon it. By God's grace, we should want to think on it and study it and have it in our mind and hide it in our hearts. But, you know, some people don't even think of those things. Some people never read their Bible. Some people come to our church and they never bring a Bible. And I tell the ones in children's church that they need to bring the sword with them. And a few of them, smaller ones, for a while was thinking a sword, you know, a physical sword. But then we learned that the sword in the Bible is referred to as His Word. And His Word is sharper than a two-edged sword. But we still can witness for the Lord, and as Brother Wayne said this morning, and keep these themes keep occurring through Psalms 119. This is the Word of God. David keeps saying, I need your Word, I need your precepts, I need your guidance. For on my own, I'm a wreck, I'm a mess. And one writer said the Psalms is like a cow grazing in a big, deep meadow. And she's just grabbing a bite here and grabbing a bite there. But she's trampling the greatest food underneath her feet. She's walking on it, never touching the bite below her knees, only eating what's up here in her face. And I think sometimes as Christians we do that with God's Word. Do you agree? Sometimes we just read enough about it, as my dad used to say, to be ignorant. We just know enough to be ignorant about it. But in verse 17 there, David is asking for a lot, not a little, for your servant, from God the Father, from Jesus Christ. David says here, for your servant. Are we a servant of the Lord? Brother Wayne touched on some of that this morning in his sermon. Are we a servant for the Lord? Do we want to serve the Lord? Or do we just want to come to church? Do we want to do what God wants us to do? Or we just want to have a feel-good sermon? But he begs God for a feeling of God's grace, his mercies, and his love. And in the second part there, he says, that I may keep thy word, help me live a life that is worthy of your praise, your glory, and your blessings. He wants a relationship with God. How close is your relationship with God? Are you close to God? Are you always close to God? Do you always feel close to God? Is there times that you feel distant to God? Sometimes I feel distant because there's situations sometimes I don't know how to handle. And I want guidance from the Lord, but you know what? I want immediate guidance. And I think God is trying to teach me patience. But we all need a relationship with the Lord. And David says that right here, that he wants a relationship, that I might live and keep thy word. And the wondrous thing about all this in his word that David is writing is a blessing and a favor from God. He wants God to favor him, not make him special, but to listen to him and give him guidance. And God has a remedy for and can cause us to wonder. Do you ever wonder about God? Children's church, they sometimes, I think, like I used to think when I was little, growing up in church, but they sort of think that God is an old man up there, stooped over and with gray hair and on a cane and can't hear well. And that's the picture sometimes we get of God, isn't it? That he doesn't listen to us, or that he doesn't give us the right guidance. And his word here, David says, gives us guidance. The psalmist writes this. And he realizes without God's enlightenment of giving the word and showing him the way, that he cannot see God and he cannot be what God wants him to be. And you know, if you're going down the road and you're lost, you'd take about anyone's direction they would give you, wouldn't you? Just so you can get where you're going. But some people may give you the wrong direction. Like the little boy said, he was walking alongside the road and a guy come along and said, you know where this road goes to? And he says, yeah, it goes right down there and around the curve. He said, well, I'm lost. He said, well, I'm not lost. He said, but I can't tell you how to get there because I don't know where you're going. And we know that we're that way with some people sometimes. But he says to remove the veil from my eyes that I might see clearly you, God, and your goodness. Do we have veils over our eyes that we don't want to see what's out there, or we don't want to hear about it, or we don't want God to reveal to us what we need to do? Or do we just want to do what we want to do? But he says, I clearly want to see you, Lord, and your goodness. And the second part there in verse 18, he says, the wondrous things of his word is a blessing and a favor from God. The things we do not know about, God can cause us to wonder. God has a remedy for wondering. We can know him through his word. We can know him through his actions. We can know him through other people, circumstances in our life that God allows sometimes. We can know that he's speaking to us to do or not to do. So there is a remedy and there is a cause for us to wonder sometimes. Do you ever wonder about your salvation? Brother Wayne asked that this morning. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you know that you know? And you don't have to answer, but I'm not I'm not to challenge you either, but I just want you to know that God loves you and I love you, but He wants us to know that we know Him and His ways. And for some Christians, it's like having a map in their car, or maybe a Google map on their phone or iPhone or smartphone. And they are smart, so smart. Sometimes I can't even use them. But sometimes we're like that as Christians. We have the road map here. God gave us a map. But we refuse to look at the map. We just want to go on our own. And I think that's what David is saying here in the second part there in part B. That we are like a person lost that has a map, has a way to go, can get directions, but we don't want it. We don't want those directions because those directions sometimes are telling us things we don't want to hear, or telling God, speaking to us, to our hearts, to improve us as a person, as a Christian, as a church member. But we stay lost and we just keep wondering and think, well, I'll get there sometime. But we have to read God's word to know this. And a guy told my brother once, he said, you know what? And he said, know what? He said, I wish I knew the Bible like Otis does. And I don't know the Bible. And Sister Nancy mentioned something before we had singing tonight. The more I read about in the Bible, the more ignorant I feel about the Bible. I feel ignorant. I sure don't know all there is about the Bible. But we have to read to know that, or have someone to tell us. In verse 19 and 20 there, the psalmist writes and realizes the earth is not his home. We're just here. We're just passing through. There's a song we have sung before. I'm just a pilgrim traveling through this wearisome land. And we know our home's not here. It's like a person seeing all the world and its joys, but he does not belong here in this world. He enjoys this world, but if you enjoy the world too much, and Paul writes this in his word, you can be of the world, but you don't have to be in the world and take part in the world. Some of the things that go on in the world, I don't want to take part in. I don't even want to know about, because they're not of the Lord. They're not teaching me how to be a better person, a better Christian, and how to serve the Lord. In the second part there, he says his soul longs for God's word. If you came in here and our pastor never preached, and we didn't have Sunday school, we didn't have Awanas, and we didn't have children's church, and you went home, would you feel empty? Would you feel like you missed something, or that why did we even meet? Why did we come together? But his word, David says here, he longs for God's word. And having a spiritual desire hints of a coming blessing, that God's going to give us a blessing someday, isn't he? He's going to come back and claim his own, his children. What are you and I doing for this? We don't have to work the blessing out, do we? It's given to us freely. But it comes from people with a desire for life. It comes from people who want to serve the Lord. If you are longing for more from the Lord God, you're alive. You're not dead. You're a living soul. You're alive in God. You're alive in Christ. So that's what David's thinking, thanking God for here. He's thankful that he's alive in Christ. He's alive in God. And I've known people in my family, and you probably know some years, family as well. They've been in church most of their life, and I have never seen them give any reflection of knowing God, being with God, praising God, It's just like their bodies are none. And he says here that we should be alive. If we're in Christ, we should be alive. We're a creature. And David says he wants to know more about that. He longs for that, for more from God and to know more about God. In verses 21 through 24, 21 says that those who stay or stray from God, from His Word, from His commandments, His precepts, are proud and cursed. He's talking about that in the verse here, that they're proud and cursed. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. So some people break the commandments and brag about it. Some people break the commandments and laugh about it. But God said to David in His Word, and David asked God to restore him his joy of his salvation, because David was miserable, because he'd sinned. He'd sinned against God. He'd sinned against himself. He'd sinned against his fellow man. He'd sinned against a marriage. And he conceived a child out of wedlock with Bathsheba. And God punished him, didn't He? His punishment wasn't death, but He took the life of that child. And so David, he was in ashes and sackcloth mourning. For 3 days he did this. And someone told him, said, David, you need to get up and move on. You need to go. You need to get back with the Lord. But look at some of the biblical characters, and Wayne mentioned one today, whom God rebuked. Cain, Pharaoh, Haman, Nebuchadnezzar, Herod, all those were rebuked by God with curse, judgment. And we don't want to get to the end of our life and be rebuked by God, do we? And His judgment is going to be equal. His judgment is going to be eternal. And He'll judge everyone with the same measurements. Even if the prince speaks against him, David says, he will not turn against God. If someone commands him to give up on God, give up on the Lord, why are you doing this? He says he will not turn away from God, that he loves the Lord and he wants His Word in his heart. Others put pressure on David as well because of his love for God's Word. Do people put pressure on you because you're a Christian? Do they challenge you sometimes and make fun of you because you're a Christian? And or say, well, who do you think you are? Because you go to church don't make you a perfect person. But we don't have to be, do we? We said that before. We don't come to church to be perfect. We come to church to know the Lord, know more about the Lord, know His teachings, His concepts, His precepts, His commandments, His love, His Word. And through that, we should go out and spread the Word to other people. Show them what it looks like to be a Christian. Now, do I always show everyone what it looks like to be a Christian? No. I'd be a liar to say that. I've lost my temper just as you have. I've said things I shouldn't have said just as you have. But I've asked for forgiveness every day just as you have. But he delights and trusts God's Word more than people in high places. Do you trust people in high places this day and time? Who do you put your trust in? You can't even trust your neighbors sometimes or your friends. But you can trust the Lord. That's what David wants. That's what David is saying here. He delights in the trust of God's Word more than people of high places. He don't want the glory of people bragging on him what a good person he is or what he does. He wants the Lord to brag upon him because he's doing the will of God. And he saw the danger here of a dead soul and a cold heart. He understood the dangers of a darkened soul, one who didn't know the Lord. And he wanted God to shine his word into his life. And he says that all through his Psalms. He says it many times through this Psalms. He uses that, the word, the word, the word, the word. And the word is from the Lord. But God shines into, has shown his light into David's life. It's obvious when you read this Psalms that David had a close relationship with the Lord. Even though he'd sinned, even though he'd committed adultery, even though he'd taken a man's life because he wanted that man's wife, or he thought that was going to be the plan. But he saw that the authority and plotting, people plotting against him as well. You remember Saul chased David into the inch of his life near death, and David didn't know which way to turn. He was trapped in a cave once, and he could have taken Saul's life. He could have done whatever he wanted, but he didn't do that because he knew, and he said that Saul was God's man at that time, and he didn't want to go against God, and he didn't want to dishonor God, but he saw that the authorities, even today, plot against us. They plot against God. Their agenda is opposite of what the Bible teaches. And I can't change that. Only God can change a heart. I can't change lives. Only God can change a life. And I wish I could. I'd just go up and down the valley here and I'd have everybody converted. And but I can't do that. I don't have the authority, and I don't have to. The Holy Spirit has to do the convicting. I can't. And he saw that the authorities that were plotting against him were rising up against God. And we see that through the Old Testament especially, where they were close to God and then they got far away. And God called them back and they repented, especially through the book of the Kings. And they rebelled, and God called them back, and they repented, and it went on and on and on. It was like, how long can this go on? But David wasn't happy with being that way. He rises up, and he's superior to all the others above him, it says, by meditating on God's statutes and finds delight in them. He don't rise up because of his strength. He rises up because what God fills him with, the power and the strength to go on. And sometimes if you don't have the power and the strength to go on, you get depressed, don't you? This is a depressing world. It's a depressing time. You look on every hand, it seems like there's something on every way you turn that depresses you. If you listen to the news, you can have a bad spirit just from the news. You just feel bad and sometimes almost feel dirty for even listening to it. Not that you've done anything, it's just that what the world is telling us and feeding us into our souls. We were in Lynn's cousin's reunion back last fall, and one of her cousins was standing there reading something from a cell phone. He said, "You ever look at this stuff?" And I said, "No, I really don't." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because it just leaves me with a bad spirit if I do. And I don't need any more bad spirit in my life." And he says, David here says, by meditating upon God's statute, he finds delight in the Lord. He's delighted in the Lord. And I don't know if everybody is saved is delighted in the Lord or not. I can't answer for you. I can't answer for anybody but me. But David is happy to be a child of God. He's happy. And he don't want to lose that relationship with God. And not that God's going to go anywhere, but you know, it's like the man and woman had been married about 50 years, and they sat together in the old pickup truck when they first met, and when they first courted, and when they first got married. And then as time went along, they traveled together, and he'd be at one door, and she'd be at the other door. And he said, "I want to ask you, why is it this way? We used to be so close, as the old saying, you couldn't stick a match stem between us. And now I'm at one door and you're at the other door." And she looked at him and she said, he looked at her and he said, "Well, I haven't moved, you have. Well, God hasn't moved, you have. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord, it's not because of what God has done, it's because of what you've done, it's because of what I've done. God hasn't moved. He hadn't changed his precepts. He hadn't changed his word. We know the Bible to be accurate, with infallible, true word of God. And that's what David is saying. I need that in my life." And David saw his own soul and his weaknesses as well. And he prayed about it. "My soul breaks into singing." He even got happy. Brother Gary mentioned this morning. I was thinking of that, Brother Gary, because I was reading over some of this for my notes. And you people get so to a certain point, they get depressed or whatever, and sometimes they just get whistler. You were talking about the whistler. He never whistled any particular song. He was just whistling because he must have had a happy spirit. My wife talks about a man that came into the bank where she worked, and she said every time he came in the bank, he was whistling. And I know the man. He was a Christian man, a good man. You would know him if I called his name. And he whistled because he was happy. He had a happy spirit. And David, it says here that David would break into singing. That's what Psalms means, singing. So if you sang this Psalm, you would be a good while, and I don't know if Sister Nancy could play through all that or not, 176 verses. But he was happy. Why don't we have joy in our lives? Why don't we have joy in our salvation? What's keeping us from doing that? Who keeps us from doing that? Well, we cut ourselves short. And we come and we meet and we talk about the Word and God's what it means to us and other people. But then we go away and do nothing about it. We don't read it. We don't heed it. We don't study it. I'm not saying everybody. I'm saying for me, not you. But David knew who his counselor was. He knew where his strength came from. He knew where he got his encouragement from, he says, from God's Word, not from himself. And he leaned upon God to give him counsel and to lift him up and keep him up, to prop him up, to keep him going. Sometimes in life it's hard to keep going, isn't it? There's so much against us. Satan's out there. Pastor and I mentioned, we talked about this a little bit last night. When he called me and we talked a bit about his illness. But David loved and had joy in his salvation. He had joy. He could sing it. He could write it. He could praise God. And sometimes we can hardly utter a word for God. We're tongue-tied or afraid to say, "I don't know. I don't have to know." But David loved the counsel of the Lord. He was challenged by the counsel of the Lord. And you should be, and I should be challenged from it as well. God challenges me every day to be what I wasn't yesterday, to be more tomorrow than I was yesterday. And that's how we know we grow as a Christian. Are you closer to the Lord today than you were last year? Will you be closer tomorrow than you were yesterday? Well, David loved the growth he saw in himself, and that's what he wrote about here in the Psalms. So, anybody have any comments or questions or anyone? When you weren't the Lord's and saved, you were the devil's. And he didn't challenge you. He tempted you. He does everybody. The Bible says he tempts everyone. He don't choose who he tempts. He tempts everyone. Goes up and down through the earth like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But when you get saved, he wants you back. He wants you to be his way and not God's way. I don't think you get tested more than anybody, because everybody gets tested. Even when you're saved. And Satan knows this. That's why he keeps tempting us. That's why he was created for that purpose. That's his purpose in life, is to tempt everybody, saved or unsaved. In some things, that's what you have to do, is just turn it to the Lord. Just stop what you're doing and pray. And turn it to the Lord, because some things you can't resolve. I can't resolve all the issues, and they're too big for me to resolve some things anyway, and I have to trust in the Lord to take care of that, to give me a spirit of a determination of wanting to know his spirit in me. But well, you're not the only Christian who's done that. I've heard Brother Bill DeBoard say many times, and you that sat under his teaching, Brother Jimmy and some of the others, you've heard Brother Bill say, "Jimmy, I've tried to do it my way, and I worked and worked and do it my way, and I finally said, Lord, it didn't work. It's not working. Let's try it your way." And I think that's one issue that we all have as humans. We want to do it our way sometimes and not God's way. And because of that, we suffer. And we feel pain. We feel distant from God. And we're going to be that way, because he wants us to cast every care. He didn't say big and little and small, or if you're feeling good or bad. He said, cast every care upon me. And we don't do that, do we? We beat ourselves to death with something. And then finally realize that I can't resolve it. Lord, if you don't change it, it won't be changed, because I can't do it. But that's hard to do. It's admitting. Yes, ma'am.
I kept feeling that way, and trust me, I feel like...
And that's called trust.
It's called trust.
That's what David is talking about. I trust you, Lord, to give me what I need, your word, your precepts, your concepts, your commandments, because that's what I need. I need that every day to keep me straight. And you do too. Everyone needs it, whether we admit it or not. But yeah, we all do. What some people meant for evil, God can take it and use it for the good. Just like Brother Wayne was mentioning some situations this morning. But we need to be more like David, to want to know his word and get in his word and find out what his word tells us to do and not to do. We don't have to be perfect. There's not a perfect person in this room. But as I said earlier, we don't have to be perfect. We just have trust in the Lord. Some things that he has to take care of because I can't do it. But I have to lean on him every day. And he lets me lean on him and keeps me propped up. And I'm thankful for that. Anything else, anybody? Everybody's minds and hearts clear. I hope you got something out of the lesson tonight, and continue to pray for our pastor and our church family and our nation, our leaders, our president. God knows every need. I can't name them. I don't have to name them. He already knows them. But if there's no other thoughts or questions, I'm going to ask Brother Jimmy if he'll dismiss us. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you all.